Let us answer the question, does the Bible teach socialism?
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
It's time again for America to head to the polls. But this time, a dark shadow is looming over the nation.
Cultural engagement by Christians should be viewed part and parcel to the ultimate commission that Jesus gave us in the Great Commission.
In many places, socialism is on the ballot this year.
Most people would recognize socialism and Marxism as being a failed economic model. Not too sure our millennials understand that or agree with that.
What should be the Christian response to the siren call of socialism? Find out next on Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Election Day is this week, and the outcome may have more impact in shaping our future than any previous election in our history. Will voters assert freedom, protection of life, and adherence to our nation's Constitution? Or will we take a turn toward censorship, rampant immorality, and incipient socialism? On today's program, we will look at the dangerous inroads socialism has made in America, and you will see what the Bible has to say about it. We will also tell you about the perfect resource to help you understand the biblical position on many of our culture's most important issues. As we begin, Abraham Hamilton III is a public policy analyst for the American Family Association. He joined me recently in Washington, D.C. to talk about how elections matter. 2016 was a very good example of the truth that elections matter, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if the 2016 elections had gone differently, what would we be looking at the courts today?
Wow. That's a thought that I shudder to consider, but I did consider previously. I think you would have had the completion of former President Obama's fundamental transformation of America, where you would have had the door to religious liberty first and foremost, in my mind, slammed on the United States of America. I think you would see the court system, the federal judiciary, expand even further outside of its constitutional bounds, and where we really would be transformed from a constitutional republic where we'll be subject to a tyrannical government instead of an individual tyrant, a tyranny of 9 unelected Supreme Court justices.
Yeah. Abraham, you're a student of history, and you and I both know socialism has failed in dramatic fashion every single place it's been tried. Witness Venezuela in recent years, at least economically. But there's a movement, there's a part of socialism today that says the real reason is we didn't do a good job of getting rid of some institutions that were in the way, principally the family and the church. Cultural Marxism is on the rise today, and it aims to destabilize and eliminate those institutions. Is that how you see the culture when you look at it? I mean, most people see just chaos.
Yeah, it is chaotic, but it's chaotic in a particular direction. And it's in a direction that denies the existence of God. And as a result of denying the existence of God, it's no wonder that it seeks to trample and crush the institutions that God primarily established to establish a civilized society, namely the family and the church. Those have been deemed by socialists of history, as well as modern socialists, as being impediment. It's no wonder that people like Friedrich Nietzsche and Karl Marx himself saw the church as being the chief impediment to the establishment of a socialist utopia. And of course, they want to trample the existence of a church that says, no, you don't have the authority to take rights from me. They're inalienable. They're inherently given to me by God, which is why you see this hostility directed toward the church.
Right. Nearly 40 years ago, Francis Schaeffer said that he thought that evangelicalism had decline to the point where the average Christian was mostly concerned with personal peace and prosperity. That's a recipe for disaster in light of the commission that Jesus gave his people. He said, he didn't just say, share the gospel. He said, go.
Yes.
Go and make disciples of all nations.
I, for one, am grateful that those who have gone before me in the faith and in our great nation have not confined their concern merely for themselves and their personal peace. Even in our preamble, the founding fathers articulated that we have constructed this Constitution to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves, yes, but also to our posterity. Posterity has always been a part of the fleshing out of the liberty in our country. And it's also one of the reasons why people say, well, I don't know anywhere in the Constitution where the lives of the unborn were mentioned. And I say, well, you probably haven't checked the preamble because the unborn future Americans were clearly spoken of there. And so when you take the totality of the Great Commission, which is, yes, to preach the gospel, the euangelion, but the completion of that is to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has taught, everything. And so I strongly believe that instead of using the darkness of our day and the rancor in D.C. and the swampiness of the swamp to intimidate us away from it, some of us should be saying, Lord, I see what's happening around us. What would you have me to do in response?
What should cultural engagement look like on the part of Christians? It can't just be an election here, an election there. What should that engagement look like?
I believe very strongly that cultural engagement by Christians should be viewed part and parcel to the ultimate commission that Jesus gave us in the Great Commission. When we see it in those terms, we won't be limited to the temperamental swings of election seasons and a victory here electorally, a defeat here electorally, but we'll see it's a part of our duty to be salt and light. And one of the things that guides me, I use the example from Scripture when Jesus fed at a minimum 5,000 people with the loaves and fish. And the Bible says he retreats to the mountainside to pray. And he spends his time there praying. And based on the way the Scripture outlines the timing of the daytime, that it's almost like an all night prayer meeting, that he follows up this victory with returning to the source of his engagement, which is staying connected to the vine, staying plugged in to the source of authority to be prepared for the very next venture. And I think that is an instructive example for us to follow, because our engagement is not solely based on political wins and losses. Our engagement is based on being instructed by our Lord to execute that great commission.
The D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible brings Dr. Kennedy's unparalleled commentary alongside the text of Scripture to make clear the foundational doctrines of the faith. Bound in genuine leather, this powerful tool for study and instruction includes over 700 notes and articles from Dr. Kennedy to answer timely questions regarding what God's Word has to say about major issues like political engagement, sexuality, and even socialism.
To have a D. James Kennedy topical Bible that actually integrates culture with what's happening in Scripture, I think is a good gift.
Contact us today to receive your D. James Kennedy topical study Bible.
There is no question that elections matter, especially as America teeters on the precipice of socialism, with numerous major party candidates now openly proclaiming themselves to be socialists and receiving popular support. Some have erroneously thought that socialism is a Christian way of organizing society and government, but that could not be further from the truth. I'm joined now by my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad, Dr. Kennedy, made it clear that socialism was a very unbiblical idea.
Yes, that's right, Frank. He was not willing for anyone to blame the blight of socialism on the Bible. My father was a diligent student of the Scriptures, and he saw how those on the left misused and abused the Scriptures to claim a Christian origin for socialism. Even today, many politicians will selectively quote the Bible as their justification for socialistic policies. But far from being a biblical idea, socialism is actually radically anti-biblical. Socialism violates one key biblical commandment after another. That's a bad thing to do, but to do it in the name of Jesus Christ himself is nothing short of blasphemy. What does the Bible say about socialism? And why is it so wrong and dangerous? My dad, Dr. D. James Kennedy, explains this in his portion of his important message, Does the Bible Teach Socialism?
Let us answer the question, does the Bible teach socialism? Now, whenever you hear people make that claim, they invariably will appeal to one passage, and that is the passage from Acts, the 4th and 5th chapter, dealing with Ananias and Barnabas. Barnabas, you recall, sold a piece of land and brought and gave it to the apostles. And then Ananias and his wife sold a piece of land, emulating them, but kept back part of the price and brought only a portion of it and lied about it. But they say that this passage contains within it all of the basic principles of socialism. Well, I would like to submit to you as a thesis this morning that not only does this passage not teach the principles of socialism, but that it countermands all of the various tenets, the basic fundamental tenets of socialism, and is an unparalleled broadside against the socialist ship of state. Well, the basic concept of socialism is either that the state owns or controls property or the means of production. That is, that socialism basically denies the concept of private property. Well, what does the Bible say? In the Decalogue alone, the Ten Commandments, I think we have the repudiation of this, the commandment, thou shalt not steal. As virtually every theologian for 20 centuries has declared, is a divine guarantee of private property. I cannot steal something from you if you do not own it. Furthermore, in the Decalogue, we even have a command that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or anything that is thy neighbor's. Again, a clear teaching of private property. But let's come to this passage that we have before us. Is private property repudiated, or is it taught? Notice what Peter said to Ananias. While this property remained, this land remained, was it not thine own? It is difficult for me to imagine any clearer statement of the ownership of property than that. Secondly, we note that this action was voluntary. They didn't have to sell their property. There was no commandment to sell their property. There was no commandment to give the funds away. It was voluntarism. Now, I cannot imagine anything that militates more strongly against modern concepts of socialism than voluntarism. I have not the slightest objection to any group of people anywhere who want to get together and voluntarily engage in any form of socialism that they care to do. It is the fact of enforcement. It is the fact of coercion that lies at the very heart of every socialistic scheme in modern centuries. Thirdly, and I don't know which of these principles indeed militates more mightily against modern concepts of socialism. The money, they sold the property, and they brought the money, and they laid it at the feet of Pontius Pilate. Is that correct? They laid it at the feet of Caesar. Is that correct? They brought it to the local tax collector. No, what does it say? It says it a number of times. They laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I can think of nothing more perfectly designed to give Karl Marx apoplexy than the idea that people should sell all of their property and bring the money and give it to the church. No, the Bible does not teach socialism, and the adverse effects of it in the long haul are incalculable. What the Bible teaches is freedom and responsibility and work. And we are jettisoning all of these in the socialistic state. And the spiritual effects will be the worst in the end.
As you've just heard from Dr. Kennedy, in addition to being contrary to biblical principles, socialism is destructive and very dangerous. It destroys liberty and consigns people to servility. Yet, shockingly, a growing number of politicians are running for office in America openly proclaiming explicitly socialistic motivations. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
This is the beginning, because the message that we sent the world tonight is that it's not okay to put donors before your community.
The unexpected primary victory of New York's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a 28-year-old former bartender, on her way to a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, was perhaps even more unexpected in this way. She's an out-of-the-closet socialist.
Is that improved and expanded Medicare for all, health care for every single person in America, is what we deserve as a nation.
Such political promises sound good, but what does that actually come down to?
Well, it never works. They're being sold a lie. You want free college? Yeah. I want free college. Everyone wants free college. But they have to recognize somebody has to pay for it. And frankly, there are not enough somebodies around. If we took all of the assets of all the billionaires in the country, all of them, not 100% of their income, all their assets, it would pay about 6 months of the federal government. Deficit. That's it. 6 months, and it's gone.
Socialism says you will be taken care of, your family will be taken care of, and your neighbor will be taken care of. Capitalism and the American tradition said you take care of you, you take care of your family, and you take care of your neighborhood.
Most people would recognize socialism and Marxism as being a failed economic model. Not too sure our millennials understand that or agree with that.
Indeed, a new survey by Gallup found that many young people state they prefer socialism to capitalism.
I'm appalled at the ignorance of college students today. Many of them are a product of public schools, which means they've been undereducated. We've taken out civics classes. We've taken out economics classes in the high schools. And so what's happening is college students are coming forth from public high schools and public colleges fully baked as socialists because they have professors who have brainwashed them, basically. And they haven't been re-educated by life yet.
But some people think that socialism is what the scriptures advocate. Take care of the needy.
I don't think that there is anywhere in the Bible that it talks about socialism being a better form of government. There is reference in the Bible that we should care for the poor, but that's us, you and me. We should make decisions in our own communities to care for the people around us that are less fortunate. To my knowledge, there is no place on earth where socialism has been successful in any kind of a long-term way.
It's easy to think of socialism as something practiced only in other countries. But in America, there is a creeping socialism.
We have come to look at government as the answer to all our needs. But bureaucracies are just not programmed to be compassionate. No bureaucracy can be compassionate. No bureaucracy can have that one-on-one personal touch with your need. Only the church can. Only local consumer providers can. Only people who are your neighbors can. The people who you live next door to, the people that you connect with in the community, which is why the onus is so on the church.
At stake in the midterm elections is probably more than we can comprehend. 25% of a family's income is spent on government regulations. You may not recognize it, but you pay higher prices for bread and for milk and for gasoline and everything else when there are more regulations. When regulations go down, your income goes up. Well, right now, for every regulation that's going into effect, 22 regulations are being repealed. We have seen an economic boom like we have not seen in 50 years, literally. That goes away with the new direction.
They say, Maxine, please don't say impeachment anymore. And when they say that, I say impeachment, impeachment,
The left is organized. They are mobilized. They are organized. You ask any 22-year-old leftist socialist in this country, any 22-year-old nitwit, tell me about socialism. They can't even answer you what socialism is. But they sure can go out and demonstrate and block highways and destroy property.
There's a lot at stake in November. We're either going to see a continuation of the Trump revolution, or we're going to see the progressives take over, impeach the president, put a halt to his agenda. This is no ordinary election.
As we speak here, just days before the election, how many Christian ministries on television are speaking out with biblical truth on socialism and other major issues facing our country? Friends, I do not mean that as a boast. D. James Kennedy Ministries is called to stand for truth and defend your freedom. But I will tell you, sometimes the battle gets awfully lonely. By God's grace, we are having an impact. In recent months, we have exposed censorship against Christians and conservatives on the Internet, pushed for the nomination of a constitutionalist to the U.S. Supreme Court, and evaluated the transgender phenomenon in our culture using a biblical yardstick. And we are training leaders in the Constitution, a Christian worldview, and practical governance through our D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Leadership. But we cannot do all of this alone. It is expensive to produce and air programs like this one to a nationwide audience. We really need your help to continue this vital work. If you are able to give a generous donation today, we will thank you by sending you perhaps the most important resource this ministry has ever produced. It's the leather-bound D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or you can call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. This study Bible is like no other, with hundreds of articles pulling together Dr. Kennedy's biblical analysis on questions like, does the Bible teach socialism? What's the difference between Christianity and Islam? Are there good reasons for believing in Christianity? The D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible answers questions like these, as well as hundreds more. It even features an entire section from Dr. Kennedy dealing with how to answer questions where people object to the Christian faith. The D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible is literally the culmination of Dr. Kennedy's nearly 50 years of teaching and preaching. And we would be pleased to send it to you as our thanks for your most generous donation. Now, some of you are able to give $50 or $75 or $100 or more. Every dollar will help us continue to bear witness for Christ and to stand for truth in a culture desperately in need of it. Again, simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Ignorance of socialism and its effects has allowed it to gain rising popularity in the United States recently, especially among the young. In 2016, Bernie Sanders almost won his party's presidential nomination as an open and avowed socialist. This year, young professing socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is running for and will almost certainly win a congressional seat in New York. Among other policy proposals, She has advocated Medicare for everyone, universal employment through government subsidy, and free college tuition. All of this sounds great, especially to those with no understanding of economics. But for those who do understand the laws of economics, the socialistic picture, especially the way she's presented it, is fantasy dressed up as reality. Ocasio-Cortez has said, for instance, that her Medicare for All scheme would cost less than the current system and save taxpayers trillions, a claim echoed by Andrew Gillum, running for governor of Florida. Even the decidedly liberal Washington Post gave that claim 3 Pinocchios for its outrageous falsity. In reality, credible estimates indicate that all of these social goodies would cost an extra $40 trillion over the next decade. But it would never go that far because, as former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher once put it, the problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And that leads us to the heart of the matter. Listen, this is not complicated. Every dollar the government spends is a dollar it has taken from someone else who actually earned it. Candidates peddling socialist policies are really advocating government confiscation and redistribution of wealth. It's not hard to understand their popularity. With a fallen human nature, there will never be a shortage of people willing to line up and take other people's property for free. But taking what belongs to others is theft. And that is no less true when it's the strong arm of government doing the highway robbery for you. Christians above all people must stand up at the polls and say no to socialism. A love for neighbor, a love for truth, and the crystal clear commandments of God demand it. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you at the polls.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
We don't want to be the generation that fails to transmit that legacy of freedom to the next generation.
We are going to be part of the army of Christ in the battle for the soul of America.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.